I don't know if some of you have been watching the Olympics, but one of the highlights for me was when Chad Leclos, I don't know how you pronounce his surname, it's like Leclos, okay, that's probably the French one, Leclos, or whatever, that's probably with you, E, but however you pronounce that, when he, I don't know how many of you saw his dad's interview. How many of you saw that? Raise your hand, let me just see it. It was just amazing. It was one of those moments. They've taken it off YouTube now because it's been going viral and lots of people have been watching it. And I'm going to show you where we're going to end the sermon tonight. Okay? We've sort of, I can't find it on YouTube, but you can, I sort of write a link on my Facebook page. So if you want to go and see the whole thing, there's a link to another place. Just go on the Facebook page. I won't reject you. If you want to add me as a friend, I will be your friend, okay? But in any case, but there's the whole interview, and we sort of just got a hold of a little bit of this dad. And this dad, you know, his son has just won the gold medal, and he goes bananas. He forgets about the camera. He just goes, and we just have a little bit of that. The rest is on the Facebook page. And I want them to show it to you, because this is where we're ending. And then we're going to start to speak some tough stuff, okay? So it's a bit of a father, let's get focused chat tonight, okay? So if you're ready for that, let's show them that. But I'm going to show you the good news at the end so that you don't lose focus when we start with the tough stuff. Okay, let's go.
Phelps getting beaten by this guy, Chad Leclos, and afterwards, Mark Foster managed to grab his dad first to come and have a chat with me. Tell us a bit about Chad and when he committed his life to swimming and how he's got this good.
He's unbelievable. He's committed like you cannot believe. He's the most down-to-earth, beautiful boy you ever meet in your life. He he's crying at me. I love you. Oh my God, every time I see my son, I look at
me. This is the hype, yes. No, you're fine. And his mum is here as well. How many more family members, how many friends have you got?
My other son is here, a small one.
Yeah.
And he's somewhere up there, I can't find him. We have to get tickets all over the place, you know. It's not easy to get tickets.
I know, we're aware, but listen, you were here at the most perfect moment of your son's life, and it sounds like the most perfect moment of yours.
Oh, unbelievable. Thanks, Great Britain.
I just love that moment. It's another one I could watch.
Okay, but he goes a couple of times, then he forgets that he's on the TV, and he goes, unbelievable, look at him. And he goes like, oh, beautiful. You know, that's my son. You know, and he forgets he's on the TV. He just goes bananas, as if he's, with that big body of his, as if he swam, you know, the butterflies. He just won the gold medal, yeah? I read in the newspapers that the whole family, you know, went through the whole night. They didn't sleep the whole night because they were just so excited about his win, you know, and the dad. He's just like there all over the place. And that's where we're going to go to tonight. And we're going to start with the scripture in Psalm 86 verse 1. And then we're going to pray first. 86 verse 11. Father, we thank you for your life. We thank you that we are sitting on holy ground. Thank you that you're here to speak to us. Lord, and I pray that the fear of God will be established tonight in our hearts. Lord, an ability to see you and know you and respect you. And to follow you with all of our hearts. Father, we thank you for your desires. Thank you, Lord, as we hear tonight, we are not perfect, but you are. And Lord, we submit to your perfect will and your perfect ways in us and through us. Thank you that you give us a boldness to come to you by the blood of Jesus into the throne room. And tonight, Lord, we're sitting in your throne room because, Lord, nothing can separate us from your love. Nothing, absolutely nothing. Can separate us from your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to start with a prayer of David. David was one of the guys that messed up a lot. He was not perfect, but he prayed a little prayer because he understood something of God. And David came into a life where there were lots of things happening, and this is where we're starting in Psalm 86, verse 11. He says, "Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name." Say this, unite my heart to fear your name. Unite my heart to fear your name. Okay, now pray this to God. Lord, unite my heart so that I can fear your name. So very simply, lots of people today, it's like when we flew back from Singapore, or we were supposed to fly back from Singapore, I'll never forget it. It's one of those moments where you sort of prepare yourself to go back home, and you arrive at the airport, and I've got all the guys' passports there, the 8 people in the team, we're standing ready, and I'm just thinking of my wife and my children. I'm thinking, mission completed. We've traveled like 4 countries in 6 days or somewhere around there, and it's been long traveling, and you know, it's been a lot, and I'm just thinking, home, home, home. And here we get to this little desk with this nice little lady that stands there, you know, of Qatar Airways or whatever, and so I hand a passport. It's almost like a ticket to go home, a ticket to go to heaven, you know, a ticket. And I hand it over and I give it to her, and then comes that look on her face, that stare, and she says, Mr. Leroux, you are not on this flight back. And I say, no, you are mistaken. That's what I said to her. Well, I reminded myself that I was a Christian and I must be content and I must be like nice. Okay, so I'm not going to lose my salvation in the process. I'm just going to be nice. Okay, so then I say, look at the other passports. And she goes through the one after the other passport. Now, Gavin, where's Gavin? Gavin, stand up. Gavin was more, he wanted to be with Beverly, his wife. And he sort of just like, he was in front. He just almost ran over us to the airport. He almost left us all the way. Okay, but in any case, so Gavin and I were psyched up because we've got family. The rest are just like tagging along. And in any case, but Peter and all those other, and Ulf, they're going to get girlfriends soon. So then they're going to feel that same feeling. But in any case, so, and Lo and all those other people. But in any case, so here we stand and we hand all the passports to her. And she goes through all of them and she says, no, Mr. Stoffberg, he's not on this plane. Now I'm beginning to, I feel the wrath of God come over me, okay? I say, lady, you are mistaken. Go and call your manager. No. Okay. So there are three ladies and she calls the manager. I keep everything intact. I'm a Christian. I love people, but I love my wife more. So yeah. So the manager is there. Everybody's looking on the computers. They're checking out. And then the manager says, Mr. Leroux, slight problem. The itinerary that you gave us clearly tells you that you are flying back on the 22nd and today is the 21st. So we arrived at the airport a day early. Can you believe it? Okay. So it's that moment of sort of being there, the right place, but completely the wrong timing. Okay. Sometimes you get the right timing, but you get completely the wrong place. Has it happened to you before? Okay. Nobody? Everybody perfect? Yeah, okay. You feel like, whoa, you know, it's like that moment when you wake up and you go and want to go and see people and you want to say goodbye to people, and then when you get there, you realize you're an hour early. Has that ever happened to you? It's happened many times to me, but it doesn't feel good. But many Christians are like that. We have got all the good intentions, but we're not at the right place. Because of one thing, because of a lot of distractions. And the greatest enemy today is not the devil with his little red fork trying to get you into lots of lust. It's just simply getting you out of the time and the timeline of God, getting you not to be focused. And we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. And the moment when I'm going to use this word, then some of you are going to like try to switch off, but let's go for it in any case. Okay. Living a disciplined life. Ooh. 1 Timothy 4 verse 7. You must read this whole chapter. In the beginning, Paul writes to Timothy and he says, look here, in the last days, lots of bad things are going to happen. People are going to be lovers of themselves. There's going to be a hardness of heart. Their consciences are going to be seared. It's going to start to be crazy in the last days. Lots of people are going to get deceived and lots of people are not going to finish the race. Now, the moment when I say that, some people think, oh my Khuna, I am so afraid that I'm not going to finish the race, but that's why the sermon is here tonight. He writes to Timothy in verse 7, but have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline, exercise, train yourself for the purpose of godliness. Say, for the purpose of godliness. So Paul writes to Timothy. Timothy is a young person, like most of you are young people here tonight. He says to him, look here, Timothy, if you want to finish the race, very simply, you need to exercise yourself. You need to train yourself. You need to get into certain spiritual disciplines. Because, yes, God's grace is free. Yes, God's love. God does a lot of things, but you have to be at the right place at the right time to be able to receive that. I've told you the story many times, standing in front of Aston Bosch with a girl. I studied BREC. It was my third year. And I'm sitting inside and she goes out. She runs. She's there from the north of Namibia. It never rains there. You know, she doesn't know what rain is. cannot spell it. She does a rien thing, you know. But in any case, so she's up there. And the next moment, as we've got like this off period when we must do like Finnerek, she just stands up. She runs out of Eisternbosch. She stands in front of Eisternbosch like this in the rain. And it rains and it rains and she soaks because it's the first time in 3 years that she's seen rain and felt rain. And she just soaks, you know. She soaks. And I think, I'm standing under this canopy and I'm thinking, whoa, this must be a great experience. And the next moment I get this thought, go join her. And I run out, you know. And I go and stand there next to her. And I soak. And I stand, I don't know why I'm standing there, but it's, I just enjoy every moment. Because the rain is falling. It's just, how are you positioned towards that rain to receive the rain? God's rain is always falling. God is always doing stuff. God is always moving. It's just, are you in the right place? Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians. He says, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I've preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. He says, even in my body, everything I do, I live a focused life. I live a life that I know that there's some stuff that I can do and some stuff that I can't do. Now, the moment when we think of sin, and we're going to talk about this, that's why we have these two things here in front. Sin is not the stuff that we do wrong. Did you know that? The definition for sin simply means the following: to miss the bullseye, to miss the mark, to miss God's purpose. That is what sin is. Sin isn't like smoking, drinking, doing all the... No, that is just a fruit of missing the purpose, missing the will of God. And tonight we trust that all of us are going to get into that place where we discipline ourselves. Because with discipline comes an urgency. I want you to read this scripture, and we're just laying the foundations in Ephesians 5 verse 15 to 16. And it's getting very quiet here because I trust it's conviction and not condemnation. Okay? Because I don't want you to feel bad or whatever, because I know some students, you don't plan 2 days in advance. You know? You know, it's, tonight is not about planning. Tonight is about spiritual disciplines. Tonight is about living a lifestyle to please God. So here in Ephesians 5, it says, see then that you walk circumspectly. It says that you look very carefully. Not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Some translation talks about buying out the time. Like time is a commodity. Did you know that time is more valuable to you than money? Because money you can get, money you can lose, but time, once it's gone, it's gone. And that's why Moses and lots of these people prayed and they said, Lord, teach me to number my days. Because your life is just so short. You know, I am still 19 years old in my head. But sometimes when I wake up in the morning, I realize I'm not 19 years old anymore. Yeah? Suddenly there's a pain here and a pain there, and I think it's not because of exercise, it's just the pain. Okay? And I'm not that old, so don't, you know, but in any case, you, as you grow older, in your mind, I really think sometimes still I'm like 20 years old, and sometimes I do foolish stuff like I am 20 years old, but that's lekker. When the more you get to know God, the younger you get. Okay, so it's just fun. Can somebody agree with me? Okay. So very simply, he says here, time is valuable, and when you live with an urgency, you live with a focus. You don't live from a place of being desperate. That desperate is not equal to being urgent. Urgent is simply you're focused, you're diligent, you know where you're going, and you know what God has said, and you're going to not give up on anything that God has said. You are not going to settle for second best. And you live a life towards that goal. Do you know how many Christians never live towards a goal? If you think, you know, and some people say, this Chad jumping up into the swimming pool, it just happened by chance. Oh, no. There's been lots of practice. And that one little slip with that hand in front of Michael Phelps, you know, was like, whoa, you know, that moment. But lots of practice went into that 100 meters final. Was it 100 meters? 200 meters final. So simply there's an urgency. It's not a desperate place. It's not a place of saying, oh, you know, I'm not going to take care of stuff, or I'm not going to... It's very simply just a focused life. So when you play hard. And when you focus hard, you work hard, you do stuff because you know that we're living in urgent times. You know, Jesus is coming back not soon. He's on his way. Have you noticed that? Just look at the world, people. Wake up, wake up, wake up. It's not going to get better. If people say to you, just have like pineapple drinks with Jesus every day and you have a little roses, he loves me not. And you tiptoe through the tulips for Jesus is so nice to me. You know, that stuff. It doesn't, yeah. We are getting into heavy times, but it's also the most exciting times for those who are focused. And that's why David knew this, because when he was standing on the stoop where he was not supposed to be, Bathsheba came up there and then he sinned with Bathsheba while he was supposed to be in the war, fighting. Just being in the wrong place at the wrong time can get you into trouble. Say to somebody next to you, trouble. Okay, are you still with me? So, God wants us to live with an urgency. When I talk about a disciplined life, and we're just laying a little bit of a foundation, in 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1, Paul writes, he says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. Say all filthiness. And the spirit. So there are stuff. There are two things there. It says there are filthiness of the flesh, which is fleshly, worldly stuff. But then there are also stuff that contaminates your spirit. Hello? Did you know that there are sins of the spirit and sins of the flesh? Sins of the flesh is like watching pornography and doing stuff like that. Sins of the spirit is like being disobedient to God. Defiling your spirit with wrong stuff. So he says, get away from that stuff. Walk away from that stuff, because God wants you to have this one thing, perfecting yourself in the holiness, in the fear of God. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Say this, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So simply, when we talk about having a disciplined life, having a focused life, it's not for you to be perfect, and it's not legalism. Religion brings legalism. Now, legalism is living out of a set of rules where it's always like you're going to try harder. You try in your own strength and you try to perform and you are driven by lots of stuff and you are a perfectionist. I don't know if you know some perfectionists. I know there are no one like that in this room, but they're just like a pain, okay? Like if the little, they come into your home and there's a painting on the wall and it's a bit skew. And they will not focus on anything except that painting that is like 3 millimeters skew. And it will trouble them. They will sit on that couch and they'll go like, oh, they'll have these pains in their body because that painting is skew. And then in the end, they will, I'll never forget it. I once preached and this lady came up and my collar was out like this. She came up and she put my collar back in the middle of the sermon. And I'm thinking, it was not my wife. I'll allow my wife. But, you know, this lady, she was just like, I'm thinking, that's a demon. That must be a demon. It was just amazing. I'm busy preaching and she comes up and this thing has bothered her so much. So some people are like focusing, oh, there's something wrong here. Oh, there's something. Let's see if there's something wrong. There's nothing wrong on this stage. Everything is perfect. Thank you, Christelle. Okay. Oh, I saw that. That guitar is on the chair there. Why is it not standing on a stand? Now, there are some people like that. They're perfectionists, okay? And God has never called us to legalism, to in our relationship, to have a set of rules or follow a set of rules. But he wants us to be free, but holy. And holiness means simply living a different life. I want you to show them that second clip quickly. Where is Winston? Holiness means simply that I live a life where I count the cost and I respect and I come to a place of understanding that my life must be different than the world. Because for so many people, the world is so much in the church, the world has taken, the spirit of the world has taken over the church.
Anyone who does not carry his own cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Let's say some guy really wants to build a tower. Now you might be wondering, why would he want to build a tower? I mean, who wouldn't want to build their very own tower? Come on, right? I mean, don't you think this guy is going to sit down and see if he has all that he needs to finish it? Especially the cash. Because if he pours a foundation, builds the base, and constructs half of it, and then runs out of money and supplies, that would be dumb. And everyone would drive by this dude's tower and be like, hey dummy, you know what you should have done before you built that tower? You should have counted out the cost before you even started. I hate it when people point out stuff that makes perfect sense. Or, what if a king was about to go to war with another king? Wouldn't he first sit down and figure out if his army of 10,000 could beat the other guy's army of 20,000? If not, the dude better sit that one out or he'd get owned. In the same way, any of us who don't count the cost and give up everything can't really be called a disciple of his. Jesus said salt is good, but if it doesn't taste like salt, then it's lost its worth. It wouldn't even be fit for the soil or a pile of manure. So he who has ears, listen up. Ha! Jesus just said poop.
Okay. So simply, when we come to that place, God wants us to live a life where we count the cost. We understand. There's nothing we can put on the table. But David said, look here, Lord, I'm not going to give you something that doesn't cost me something. There's always something that you're going to exchange. Either a hunger for God, or you're going to fill yourself with some other stuff that's going to make you not hungry for God anymore. You're going to start to be hungry for those things. And so it's so important when we come to God that we have a specific focus. And Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 talks about this focus. He says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I like people to read scripture out loud and memorize scriptures. I want us to read that scripture out loud. And I want you to think about what you're reading. It says, but without faith, it is impossible. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So when we talk about a disciplined life, when we talk about this place of embarking on a road to follow God, something is going to happen. He says, look here, when you come to him, there's something he wants. He wants faith. He wants an ability to believe. And that faith, we don't have faith in faith. It's just simply we come to God because we believe that what he says in the Bible is the truth. When he says he's good, he's good. When he says he's going to reward you, he's going to reward you. So the focus is not wrong to be able to know that at the end of the race, when you win the race, there's going to be a medal. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Not those who come fly by nights, fly in and fly out again and have this impulse stuff. There's so many Christians that have an impulse relationship with God, an emotional relationship. And I've said it, I'm going to say it again. One of your greatest challenges is to say no to your emotions and your feelings. I want to say this again to the crowd on this side because they agreed, but I don't know about these people. It says very simply, one of the greatest things in your life as a Christian is going to be able to say no to your feelings and your emotions. Because we live by faith and out of conviction because we understand the truth. It's a person, Jesus Christ. And when we come and we diligently seek and we ask and we knock, what begins to happen is God begins to reward us. God begins to say to us, whoa, I'm well pleased with you. Just like that dad, like Chad's dad. Beautiful. Unbelievable. Yeah? I love that. And I want you to know that that is God's heart. God's heart is not a sin consciousness, but we need to be disciplined and we need to diligently seek him. So I'm going to say it very straight to some people here tonight. You're jumping around from one church to another. You come to church like once in 4 weeks. Stop it. Don't think you're doing God a favor. And don't think you're doing yourself a favor. Because you're not there when God speaks. Get into small group. Get yourself into a disciplined lifestyle of connecting with God and seeking God, despite your weaknesses, despite your imperfection, but you just be there, just get yourself there. But so many people are not there when God does stuff. And then they expect God must do a magic wand a little bit here on the side for them. I always say this, you know, lots of people, sometimes God gives us a word of knowledge in church and then people stand under the tree outside. I don't pray for people like that. Because why? We respect it when God says now. This is the time. Come and receive from me. Then we respect him because we count the cost. We don't do it on our own terms. We do it on his terms. And that is so, people, what I'm talking about is very free tonight because there's a reward. I'm going to tell you a story. Josh, my little son, the other day, we bought a chocolate, one of these big chocolates for a friend. And I was in the kitchen and then I realized the chocolate is gone. Now, chocolate gone and silence in the house, no voice coming in the house, is equal to trouble. So I walked through the house. Josh, where are you? Silence. like the Garden of Eden? Silence. So I get into our bedroom and there I hear the... And I'm thinking, it's somewhere here. So I stand in front of the bed. I say, Josh. He's like, come out. So he gets from under the bed. He stands there with chocolate dripping out of his mouth. I say, do you know what happened to the chocolate? Do you think you know somebody that may have eaten our chocolate? While he's still swallowing the rest. I say, open up your mouth, breathe. He goes. I say, your breath smells just like chocolate. He says, no, you're deceived. It's amazing when God comes on the scene and sometimes he says, and then we say, no, God, you're deceived. You don't know what's going on here. Yeah. Then we pretend as if there's nothing. Like the chocolate is really, it's dripping out of his mouth. His teeth, his front teeth is full of chocolate. It's a whole slab he ate probably in 3 minutes, you know. That's amazing about kids, you know. They're just like impulsive. They just go, you know, because he really believes that that chocolate is not going to last tomorrow. He must finish it today, yeah. But you know, spiritually, many times we're exactly the same. We can't keep it for tomorrow. God, I must have it now. And if you don't come through for me now, if you don't heal me right now, Lord, then I'm not going to follow you anymore. Remember when I was a lighty, this 9 year, 10 years old, you know, I would point my finger at God and say, God, you this, God, you that, you know, and then God just sat there and waited for me to grow up. Because, you know, God wants to release his mysteries. He wants to release his full healings over our lives. But if we're not going to trust him and live a life of seeking him and saying no to certain things, especially that television. Some of you that's been watching series and all this stuff over and over and over. Don't come to church and don't be a fool. Let me just say this. Don't watch 20 hours of series every week and then you complain when the church is 2.5 hours long. It's just as simple as that. It's just logical. Let's just be very logical. This is not condemnation. This is just talking straight to you. Don't think you're doing God a favor. But why is God moving in China? Simply because they stand there and they don't mind to have a 9 hour service with 47 degrees. They say, just preach it, preach it. Many of those people don't have a Bible. And so what they've done in the persecution, I met one of these Christians there on Johannesburg Airport. I'll never forget it in my life. Coming there and they were coming with the little flags and they were waving their China flags because they said, I said, how am I going to recognize you? They said, no, you'll know us. And then they sang, onward Christian soldiers marching as to war. Because they can't sing out publicly in China, but they on the airport, international airport, the 10 of them are marching, you know, and they're singing a song. So they come there, they say, come pastor, let's pray for you. So I say, oh, okay, let's find maybe Mug and Bean is there on that side or there's something on that side. They say, no. Guy, we pray right here because you can pray in public. Let's go on our knees. Okay, so now we go on our knees in front of Singapore Airlines and we have a service, a church service. So these Chinese people are praying and they're worshiping God and I'm just thinking, hallelujah, okay, let's go for it, you know. And then they pray for me and they say, no, after about 15 minutes, they're almost late for their plane. They say, oh, no, we're not going before you pray for us and you lay hands on us because it's such a great thing that you can worship God freely and not die for your faith. What a moment. Onward, Christian soul. Hallelujah. They go, you know, they sing so falser than I do and they just go all over, you know. The whole Johannesburg airport is like, what's going on? The Chinese are invading us. And I think, come on, Chinese, you know. Bring it on for Jesus, okay? But guys, that simply, it's a place of living out of your heart, a place of freedom, but a place of seeking God. And many people, there are things happening, but you diligently need to seek him. Let's go to another scripture. There's some rewards. We're talking about that rewards tonight. No one engaged, 2 Timothy 2 verse 4 to 7. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all these things, in all things. So he writes here, Paul writes again to Timothy a book later, and he says, look here, Timothy, I want you to understand. I want you to finish this race. I want you to make it to the end. I met an old Umi and a Tani, and they were 83 years old, 82 or 83, at a church service, these two pastors, and they came with such excitement. They said, do you know what? God has just called us again to plant another church. And I'm thinking, bring it on. You know, this old Umi and old Tani, they're just worshiping God. They're 83, no retirement, no retire. They just say, God, the kingdom of God must come here. You know? And I'm thinking, Lord, that's how I want to be old one day, and I want to be more radical for Jesus than ever before. I don't know about you. Is there somebody that wants to join me? Yes, cool. Okay. But here he says, look here, you must be like an athlete, you must be like a farmer, and you must be like a soldier. And all three of these people understand that there's certain seasons and there's certain rhythms, there's certain disciplines by which they live. The farmer doesn't just decide the one morning, oh, I feel like sowing seed. And then he grabs the bags of seed, he runs out, and he's like, whoo, that's how many charismatic people, whoo, and throw the seeds around and all over the place. And then we just enjoy. And then he wish, oh, God, please let the seeds come up. If you want to be a farmer, you must understand the seasons first, and then you must prepare the ground, and you must put the seed in the ground, and you must wait for the right time, and you must be ready when the harvest comes, and you must get all the unkraut out. What's that? That weeds, that all that stuff. Destroyed in the process, because you must protect that stuff. If you want to be a soldier, you've always got your shoes on. You're always ready. You're always focused. And then it says there, if you want to be an athlete, you must practice spiritual disciplines. Get into the rhythms that God wants you. Walk in the spirit, not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So the rewards there is simply a soldier. The reward, it says, of the soldier is that he pleases the Father, or she pleases the Father. I don't know about you, but I want to stand before God one day and say, God, thank you. Thank you. And then God says, unbelievable. Unbelievable. My boy, we are live now on air. The whole world. Do you know they did it that with Jesus when Jesus got baptized? This is my son. Unbelievable. I love him. I'm proud of him. For 30 years he's been so faithful. And now, do you know Jesus lived for 1 hour? Go and read the John chapter 1, chapter 2. And so many times in the book of John, he comes and he says, I've come for this 1 hour. Jesus was focused for 1 hour, the day that he would die on the cross for you and me. 1 hour. He was disciplined. He was focused to get to that place. So simply, a soldier pleases the Father. And that's why we live disciplined lives. Not to be legalistic. Not to be different and weird and judge the world. No, simply just to raise the standard of values and God's love. To be able to focus that when God uses us, he uses us. And there's this pleasing, there's the fear of God in our lives. The athlete is crowned with a big medal, a gold medal at the end of the race because he's just won the race. He's crowned, you know. God wants to put a crown on your head. He wants you to understand that God loves it to conquer. And he wants you to conquer. He wants you to make conquest. He wants you to overcome. He wants me to overcome. And the farmer, he says, you know what the farmer does? He says the farmer is the first one to partake of the crop. He's the first one to eat. He's the first one to understand. Whoa, there's a joy in serving God. And I'm focused. Lord, unite my heart so that I can fear your name. Lord, unite my heart so that I can fear your name. Lord, that I can please you. I want you to put a crown on my head. I know, Lord, you're proud of me and you love me. God is not going to reject you if you fail over and over again. It's not about failing. It's just about a focus. It's about a discipline. It's about coming to the place of saying, yes, God. Because I said it, and I'm going to say it again. Discipline, a disciplined life is simply being able to say no to a lot of things and yes to the right things. It's not just saying yes to a lot of things. It's saying no to even lots of things that may seem good and Christian and spiritual to be able to do that which God has done. That's why you need to understand as an individual, you're in a specific season. So throw away the books of your friends that changed their life because maybe it's not your season. Stop listening to all the CDs and the DVDs and get just into line to what God is telling you to now because it's a life of obedience. And then for us as a church, God would work together as a group, as a family, and he will tell us lots of things. Like he's saying to us now, thanksgiving. We must give him thanks. We must come into a disciplined lifestyle of giving thanks despite how we feel, despite our emotions, and just give him thanks because that's how he's going to bring a breakthrough for us as a family. But if you're going to jump around from one family to another, visit one church after another, you know, then you're going to always go for the nice pudding everywhere, but you're not going to grow spiritually and you're not disciplined. Why? Because in what season are you? It's almost like eating hamburgers at every person in the whole road and then you think, you know, you're going to be healthy after 3 months. Because kids would love to eat hamburgers at all the neighbors all the time, but you know, they must get like vegetables as well. My wife is listening to this. Eat broccoli as well sometimes, no? It's not lekker. It's like, it attacks you when you eat it. It grows on your plate. But I sit there and I discipline my body. And I say, tree, I will slaughter you. I will kill you. Yeah? And what are these other things? These stuff that looks like worms, these like asparagus. You know, when you want to get it down in your throat, it wants to stick there and it just slides all over right through your nose and then it wants to get out of your ears and then it's like, oh, and it's like, it feels, you know. Some of the stuff tastes like nothing, you know, and then it's like steamed vegetables. I think, my God, steamed vegetables, you know, get some stuff on it, barbecue sauce or some, you know, but in any case. But eat your vegetables because it's good for you. It's good for you. What your mom said is the truth. The carrots is not going to give you green wanga, rooi wanga. It's not going to make your eyes. That was a lie. Okay? But the you're going to grow big like Popeye if you eat that other stuff, that leaf stuff. Ugh. But in any case. So, are you still lekker? So lots of people are asking, Why have we lost our flavor out there? It's simply because Christians are not living holy lives anymore. You know this little clip, I just understood. People started to watch it all over. They say it was one of the highlights, this dad speaking about his son. Because do you know how the world is craving for somebody to tell them, somebody to live a lifestyle to say, look here, look at this excellence, look at all that stuff. But you know, there's a dad that's proud of you. There's a dad that wants to have a relationship. There's a dad that wants to reward you. Do you know how the world is craving for you for that? That's why they watch all this stuff. But as Christians, if we're in the world, if we have the things of this world contaminating and entangling us, do you know what? We cannot live that lifestyle. We cannot. It's just simply we're missing the purpose of God. We're missing his life. And that's why this definition of a disciple is a disciplined follower of Christ. It's somebody that prays, studies the word, worship, witnesses, fast, or in accountability with other people, and gives. These are not optional for you to be a Christian. If you don't have a prayer life, there's something wrong. Because that's communication with God. Now, some people feel very condemned, but you're going to be set free tonight because God's grace is here to break every cycle of wilderness stuff over your life. Because some of us have got great intentions. But you know, one day there's going to be a finish line. It's called heaven. And I want to walk into heaven with God saying, well done, good and faithful servant. I always thought like getting to the end, like this world is so bad, everything's so bad, just make it to the end. Oh, Jesus, help me. I am going to finally make it. Ugh. Half of me is disabled. Half of me can't move anymore. And then you grab whatever Peter's beard or Moses' beard, because the beard will be quite long that time. And you drag yourself over the finish line. And you lie there at the feet of Jesus, because now you have been redeemed finally from the world and the system of the world. And you've become a doormat for Jesus. Oh, Lord, holy is thy feet, and I thank you that it doesn't smelleth. But Lord, that you are freeth me from the world, and I could finally make it unto you. Lord, sprinkle water on my soul.
Oh, Lord, the fire in hell is so bad, but thank you, I finally made it here into the heavens of heavens. Oh, you are holy. Holy. And then we lie there and we think, well, okay.
No, heaven is going to be fun, people. Heaven is going to be like, woo, bring on. For the first 1,000,000 years, you're going to stand like this. Ooh. It's going to be amazing. It's, you know, that's why I want to tell you, God wants you to overcome. God wants you and me to taste of that victory, of the ability here on earth to reflect what Jesus has done on the cross. He does not want us to go to the cross anymore and hang there and bleed. He says simply, live a disciplined life. Count the cost. Come into my ways. I'm going to give you grace, but you have to be there when I move. And I'm not going to cast, he says to us, don't cast your pearls before swine. And do you know what? He's not going to do that. God is not going to share his mysteries, the mysteries and the fullness of his Holy Spirit with us. And that's why he's holding back on the church. Because simply he cannot. If God releases the healings and the deliverances that he wants right now, we will die. Because we'll run off and write 30 books and 40 sermons and 60 this. And we'll bring out a healing DVD or whatever. And we'll go on a tangent. Because we're emotional many times. And I'm not saying emotions is wrong or bad. It's just secondary when we follow God. So when you worship him, you decide to worship him despite how tired you are after 3 days of fasting or whatever. That's a sacrifice that we give him. That's a thanksgiving. That's ability to walk in his fullness. So people, that's a Christian. And some of you must come to Bible school. Some of you must come to the perspective on this coming Sunday. And you must get yourself equipped. You must come to the place and say, yes, I want to not get legalistic, but I want to be there when God moves. I want to equip myself, especially when you're young, you know. Because a disciple means firstly that you have a relationship with Jesus. You want to please him. He's your number one and there's no number two. Jesus is the center. He's your everything. He satisfies everything in your life. He gives you everything. There's nothing more that you can add to him or anything, but there's just this joy of having relationship with him. And that means a disciple means is somebody that can walk in obedience. And he understands the fear of God, but he's motivated by God's love because he understands God's heart. And it's like when you have a little child, those of you who are parents, you understand this, like the Asplungs now with their little kid. When we once said tonight, their little grandchild just rolled over today. But it's amazing. It's like the first grandchild that has ever rolled over. Huh? It's the most amazing because that joy when your kids does something, you know, when they take that first little step, you just like say, whoa, stop though, Lucy, stop everything. Look, mine. It's like somebody has, it's like the first human being that has ever walked on the face of the earth. Like Neil Armstrong, what was that guy on the moon? Said, one giant leap for my child. Okay? One small step. But it's amazing how your dad, how as a dad, you rejoice in every little step. Because why the kid is coming to you, the kid is walking. Because our purpose is to become like Jesus Christ. It's a Christ-likeness. And if you don't live a disciplined life, do you know what? You cannot reflect the glory of Christ. Because you're not connected to the vine. You're not connected in him. And what comes from the vine just flows into your life. The branches just bear fruit if they're connected to the vine. It's as simple as that. And there's an overflowing freedom to follow him. Hello. Hello. Shake somebody next to you and say, I want you to live a disciplined life. So simply, when you have this little dartboard, God wants you to hit the mark. Woo! And there's a little bullseye there. Can you see that one? I don't know if you've ever seen people playing darts. They go like this. And then they go all over the place. But hitting that bullseye is not easy. Woo! I must get all closer. Oh, almost. Can you see there? It's almost there. Who wants to take a chance? Come, Flippy. Come. Peter and Flippy. Yes, sir. Come, Nick. Okay. You've got one practice shot. Go for it. Quickly. One on that side, one on that side. On the red line. Oh! Oh, Flippy. Oh! Oh! Okay, who wants to take another chance? Who wants to take a chance? Come, Stefan. Yes, on the red line, on the red line. The other day, he came to my house and he was playing poker. I just want to say that. Oh, buddy, you just... Oh, who wants to take another chance? Somebody on that side, come, Tim. Somebody, a girl. We want a girl. The girls, people say girls can't drive, but I tell you, girls can focus. Come, and a girl. Come, who wants to take a chance? Oh, it's missed, Tim. Just let me get away before you. It's not easy, eh? It takes hard work, but if you become a professional, then you can, woo, go for it. But see, that's gone. And the amazing thing is when you lock into the Holy Spirit and the things of God, God takes this little dot and he directs it. And the Holy Spirit begins to help you to every time when you come to him, because that's where you have the mind of Christ. The ability to begin to think like him. The ability to become Christ-like. That every time when you throw, it doesn't matter if you throw in that direction, it's going to hit the bullseye every time. Because of God's fullness in your life. And all he wants is your surrender. But he wants you to be there when he directs. He wants you to live a disciplined life. He wants you to come into that place of fullness where you hit the target every time. And so we're going to pray tonight for some people here, because when we talk about this stuff, you just think like, whoa, I'm like way out there. I'm like really missing it. I don't know even where to start. But that's where we start with accountability. We start in our small groups. We start in a relationship where you just talk to other people about sometimes the things you struggle with, but more than that, about the things that God is laying on your heart. Focus. Accountability is more about saying, God, what is that goal? And then we help each other. We celebrate each other to get there. We pray for each other. We motivate each other to get there. And we come into that place of fullness. So we're going to eat communion and drink of the wine tonight. And we're going to start to celebrate the cross, because that's where we start. We cannot do it without Christ. And then God is going to deliver some of us here tonight of just cycles of an undisciplined life and of addictions and stuff that's been weighing on your life and stuff that you've always been distracted with and even in your mind that you just cannot focus in your mind. And God is going to help you when you just surrender, because that's what he wants. He wants your heart. He wants to give you that ability to conquer. Because he's sitting up there in the box and he's saying, unbelievable, unbelievable. Watch him, watch her. So I want the people with the bread and the wine to quickly go and fetch it. You see, 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on a cross. And scripture says we can look to him, the author and the finisher of our faith. The one who's finished the race. And you don't need to be afraid tonight. You're not going to fail. You're not going to get deceived. All God wants is your heart and an ability to say yes to him and begin to say no to certain things. And so we're going to take this bread and we're going to celebrate. We're going to eat it together and we're going to drink together. And we're going to just, as we're sitting, going to start to thank him and say, Lord, I thank you for your healing. Thank you for your deliverance. Thank you for the freedom. But Lord, I commit myself to that way that you have called me to walk. I don't have the strength, maybe. I don't have the power. I don't have the abilities. And I feel even unworthy. But thank you that based on the blood of Jesus, you have placed worth on my life. Thank you that I was a nobody, but you've come to make me a somebody. I'm a somebody. I'm a child of God. I'm set free by the blood of Christ. I can walk into the fullness of God and I can begin to say to God, yes, God, I thank you for a freedom. Thank you for an ability. Thank you for a grace, Lord, to run and not grow weary, to walk and not faint, because those who wait upon the Lord, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and they shall not faint. Because Jesus hanged on the cross and he paid the price of ultimate prices. And he said, Father, forgive him and forgive her. Father, forgive Wimpy and forgive Quibus, Lord. Forgive Charlene and forgive them, Lord, because they don't know what they're doing. Forgive her, Lord, because she hasn't got a clue. But Lord, the moment when she begins to step out into the wake that I've created, there's a road to walk, because Jesus creates a vacuum behind him for you to walk in. But the moment when we try to do it ourselves, or we try to be our own strength, and then we're going to get deceived. Then we submit to a spirit of lawlessness which is in the world. Matthew 7 says it, that in the last days even people will cast out demons and do all these mighty works, but they won't know me because they're not walking close enough. And the invitation tonight is a very simple invitation. Jesus says, come and follow me and I will make you. He doesn't say, come, I will make you and then you follow me. It's just a commitment to following him. A commitment to stand up and say, Lord, I'm not going to go my own way. I'm not going to go the way of the world. I'm going to follow you. Make me. Don't make me a perfect Christian, Father. Just make me a fisher of men. Because that's what Jesus said he will do. Make me a fisher of men. That's why you're here. Is to reflect Jesus into the earth. So that you can fish men and women and children and grannies and granddads. He says, come and I will make you a fisherman. I will teach you. I'll give you everything on the road. But you just need to come. Just start to walk this road. Don't walk in circles anymore. Don't walk around anymore. Just come and follow me. We're going to celebrate the blood and the body of Jesus. And we're not going to do it with like phrases like, oh, this is so bad. We're going to say, thank you, Jesus. And I want you to take somebody next to you. We're going to just in groups of two, just quickly. We're going to take the bread. We're going to bring it to him and say, thank you, Jesus, for healing. Thank you, Jesus, for deliverance. Thank you for your freedom. Thank you, Lord, for your fullness of life. Thank you, Lord, that there's a reward. And tonight we're looking to that reward as we diligently begin to seek you. Thank you, Lord, for a reward of eternal life. We're not ashamed. We're not guilty. We're not condemned. But we've overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And we thank you for that freedom, God. We enter into that freedom, Lord. We thank you that your blood and your body is sufficient because you've paid the price in full. Has everybody received bread? Has everybody received wine? Just raise your hand if you've not. And now what we're going to do, we're going to do it a bit differently, because sometimes we think holiness is being quiet and dignified. Reinhard Bonnke says dignity is not a fruit of the Spirit. Did you know that? Because the moment we think of holiness, we think like, oh, I don't know about you, but holiness just means living a different life, a separated life unto Christ. So we're going to start this communion by giving a shout to God with a voice of triumph. And then you're going to turn, we're going to shout, we're going to clap to God for the victory of the cross, because that's our reward, the fullness of life. And we're going to shout and we're going to clap to God until you feel you cannot go anymore. And then you turn to somebody next to you and then you give them a piece of bread and you say, look here, the blood of Jesus and the body of Jesus is enough. And Jesus says, do it as often as you do it. I want you in your small groups, when you get together with your friends, we cannot just wait for church. This is one of the sacraments that Jesus said, and he said communion in, because we remember what he's done. We come to the place of saying, yes, God, it's done. It's finished. You've completed the race. So go home with your small group, with your friends. Say, look, before we're going to braai, let's have communion. Let's think of what Jesus has done. Let's bring Jesus back into our world. Let's enter into his world. Let's not just talk about the rugby and all that stuff, but let's start to talk. And that's why this week, share your testimony. Share your life. Lucille shared it a couple of, I think it was beginning of the year, last year, where she spoke about your testimony and Thanksgiving also. That place of just overwhelmingly, wherever we go, we're just like walking testaments. We're just like walking for God. And we're saying, yes, God, this is it. So if you're ready, you can begin to shout to God with a voice of triumph. let's give a clap to God. Let's just start to clap to Him. Yes, God. Yes, God. Hallelujah. I think we must shout again because it's just so lacquer to shout. Amen. Let's eat together. We thank you, God, for this bread. We thank you for this wine. Just start to thank God. And you partake with somebody next to you. Give part of your bread to them. Give your bread. Share your bread with them. Because this is a Thanksgiving meal. Start to thank Him. Just bless Him for the finished work of Christ. We just thank you, God. We thank you for that life. We just worship you, God. We just thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Thank you for your desires. We want to please you, Father. Thank you that you've made a way through Jesus, Lord, to run this race and to finish this race, God. Thank you that tonight you are breaking yokes of slavery over us. Lord, thank you for your hand of healing upon us, God. Lord, thank you for your freedom, Lord. And tonight we declare the prison doors to open up. Tonight, Lord, we declare the oppressed to go free. Tonight, Lord, we declare the year of Jubilee, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that it's good news. The gospel is good news to this town and to this nation. We thank you, Lord, for a release of boldness over your people again, Lord, to begin to speak and sing and dance, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we're not focused on ourselves, but we're focused on the prize, the reward. Lord, we come against condemnation and guilt and shame. Lord, all this stuff, Lord, and those cycles in the wilderness, God, that has just run over and over, Father, but those cycles stop tonight because it's time to enter in, Lord, into the fullness of God, to grab hold of the promises of God, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here to usher us in, Lord, into the fullness of God. And we, Lord, break every yoke of slavery tonight, every yoke of condemnation, Lord, every confusion and every fear and every fear of failure, Lord, that wants to hinder your people from coming to you tonight, Father. But we thank you for a boldness. We thank you for a confidence. We thank you for an ability, Lord, to run. Lord, to run. Lord, to run. Not go out of the lines, God, but to have our eyes focused on you, Father. And we thank you for that freedom, Lord, that you have brought. Lord, we rejoice in the cross tonight and we boast in the cross tonight, Father, because there's a freedom in you. There's a freedom in the cross, Lord. Lord, we come to hang our baggage on that cross. We come to lay it down, Lord. And tonight, Lord, Lord, we want to be a focused people, Lord. We want to have hearts and faces like flint before you. An ability, Lord, to walk with you. An ability to know your ways, Father. An ability to just, Lord, follow you with all of our hearts, Father. And we thank you for that freedom tonight by the cross. We thank you for the abilities in Jesus. And Lord, tonight we thank you for your release, Father, of freedom and salvation in our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for that freedom. I want you, while we're busy praying, if there's anybody here, while every eye's closed, if there's anybody here tonight that needs to come to Jesus, you need to come to Him maybe for the first time. Maybe you've lost your first love. And tonight you just know that God is calling you out of that place of mediocrity, out of that place of shame, out of that place of condemnation. God is calling you out. And He's saying, come, I want to give you a new life. But you have to do it His terms. You have to come on His terms. You need to be saved. Or you need to recommit your life to Jesus. And you need to say to Him, God, I want to surrender everything. I want to, Lord, be released into your fullness. If there's anybody like that, I want you to raise your hands quickly. And I don't want anybody else to move right now. If there's anybody here tonight that needs to come to salvation, I want you to raise your hands very high and say, that's me. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Because tonight we're praying for people first that needs to come to Jesus. Is there anybody tonight like that? Anybody tonight like that? Just raise your hands very high. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Just quickly, quickly raise your hand. If there's conviction in your life that Jesus is calling you because He wants to save you. He wants to give you a new life. He wants to say to you, yes, He's going to make a way. He's going to wash your sins away. It's not, the problem is not the sin in your life. It's the fact that you're a sinner. That you need to repent and you need to turn back to Him. You need to start to follow Him. Is there anybody like that tonight? Won't you just quickly raise your hand? Anybody, while every believer is praying in this place before we're going to start to worship God. Anybody like that? Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for your conviction. Is there anybody else? I want you to raise your hand very high because I can't see. It's really dark. If you need to commit your life, there's some people here tonight. You need to just come back to your first love. That ability to passionately just worship Him. Passionately surrender yourself to Him. Passionately giving yourself to Him. Is there anybody like that tonight? I want you to raise your hand very high. So that's me. Thank you. Thank you. I don't know how long you've been following God, but you just know that you've lost the passion. You've lost that desire to please Him because of the cares of this world. I'm going to ask you, with those people that raise their hands, if you want God just to stir up that passion in your heart, just by you surrendering to Him again, I want you to come to the front quickly and stand here on my left-hand side. I want you to quickly come. Or maybe you're a bit shy. Take somebody's hand and then come to the front, because tonight He wants to change your life. Tonight He wants to give you a new life. Just quickly come. Don't play games. We're not playing games tonight with God. This is simply just saying yes to Him. This is simply just surrendering to Him. Come quickly. I want you to stand here on the left-hand side. Because you know, it's God that does it when we surrender to Him. It's God that puts that flame in your heart again. There's some people that are terribly distracted at the moment. And it feels to you that your heart is very hard. And the Lord wants to make your heart soft again to Him. Just give you that ability to respond to Him. I want you to come and stand here in front quickly. God is speaking to you there. If you just want that, you've lost that feeling, that ability just to respond. You're always reacting. You're always like, whoa. You're always like in overdrive. You're always like over emotional and you're critical about lots of stuff. And all you want to do is, God, just give me a fresh start. Just give me a heart that can respond. A heart that can be yielded to your love. A heart, Lord, that can open up to your love. Anybody like that? I want you to come quickly to the front because we're going to pray with you. I know there's some people that still need to be in front, and we want to wait for you, because tonight the Lord is not going to do magic, but He's going to take you up on your words. He's going to take you up when you say, God, I'm saying yes and I'm saying no. I'm saying yes to you and I'm saying no to the world. I'm saying yes to you and I'm saying no to my emotions. Because even right now, there will be lots of emotional stuff going on in your life. And you know that your first love, you've lost your first love. I want you to step out. And I want you to stand on this yellow line here in front. Just quickly come. Just quickly come. Father, we thank you that you draw men unto yourself. Thank you through your Holy Spirit, you bring a freedom. And Lord, we thank you, Father. We thank you. The Lord showed me a picture for somebody here. Maybe you're already standing in front, but it's almost like a candle. Your life is like this, and the little bit of the candle, the little thing that you set alight, that thing is inside the candle. It's sort of you trying to lit the candle, but every time when you try to lit the candle, the little bit is, you cannot get to it because there's wax all over that little bit. And tonight He's just going to loosen that little bit so that there's a flame again in your heart. But He's going to do that. You just need to ask Him to do that. Because the candle has been, you know, people have pushed it the wrong way around and it's burnt out, and now suddenly there's wax all over the place and you can't get to that little, what do you call that little thing? The what? The wick. The wick of the candle. Daai klein vlammetjie ding wat jy so aansteek, daai ding. Okay? The little wick of the candle. And tonight all He wants to do is He wants your heart as you respond to Him. Thank you, Lord, that you're beginning just to soften hearts as we come to you tonight. Thank you that you're beginning to soften hearts tonight as you come. There's somebody here tonight. You have, you're very afraid of news that you're about to get from doctors, physicians. I don't know if you've been to the doctor, but there's something ahead. And you're afraid, you're very afraid of that news. It's like you're panicking a little bit at the moment because you're expecting the worst. And God wants to say to you that you're going to be fine tonight, but we need to pray for you because there's a fear in your life, and the Lord wants to just say to you that tonight He's canceling all sickness, especially something has got something to do with your head on this side. I don't know if it's your ear, but something on this side. Where's that person? So we want to pray for you specifically. He wants to assure you that you're going to be fine, and you need to go into the doctor or expecting reports to come. Where are you? I want to know where those people are. Just raise your hand if that's you. Just quickly, maybe it's for somebody else here. Is that you? Come quickly. Hallelujah, God. We thank you for your life. We thank you for your freedom. We're going to start to worship. The service is about to start now. Okay? And we're not going to be in a rush, because there's some stuff that God is going to show you concerning following Him. We always expect that it's going to be negative sin stuff, the stuff that we do wrong. But you know, most of the times God speaks to us in, hey, come and follow me. He's going to put something in front of you, and then he says, come. It's almost like one day my child came with my glasses in her hand, and she was running to me, and this little arm was bent over, and I thought, umaykhuna, if I grab it out of her hand, I'm going to break it. So I had a little sweetie, and I said, little sweetie, and then she just left the glasses and she took the sweetie. And that's what God does. He says, look here, this is what I have for you. This is my reward. And so when you see the reward, you let go of all the addictions. You let go of the cycles in your life, because you don't start to focus on that stuff. You see what God wants, what the plan is, what the bullseye is for your life. So we're going to pray with these people tonight as if we commit our lives for the first time. And I want to just say to you, yes, tonight take that step. You've taken that step. Or maybe you're still standing at the back and you've not taken that step. Then wow, just pray it from your heart. That's all God is asking. I just sense there's some more people that need to be in front, and there's conviction all over you, but there's a massive challenge. We're going to start praying, and then I want you to pray. And as we're going to start praying, I want you to walk out. As we're going to just surrender our lives and say, God, come and ignite again in us a desire and a passion for you. And then there's another group, Christians that love Jesus, but you have no discipline in your life. You're always at the wrong place at the wrong time, always afraid that you're going to miss the will of God, always in a panic attack because it's always too late or you're last minute and all that stuff. And then it feels to you like you always have this discouragement because you see like other people make it, but it feels to you like you don't make it. And there's also a sense of failure over your life. And you just feel like, oh, you know, I want to give up because I'm not good enough and I've tried hard enough. I've tried that masturbation thing and that pornography. I've tried to stop it, but it's just gone, oh, how many times must I still pray? Oh, no, it's just, oh, man, just leave it. Let's just go on with life. And you know what? Every time we come into the presence of God, there's a freedom. There's a reward because God is pleased just for the fact that you came to church tonight. You could have watched Olympics or cricket or something else. You could have been out in the pub. So God is so pleased by the fact that you are here tonight. Did you know that? He says, unbelievable. Look at my children coming to worship me. He brags. The cherubim and the seraphim must blow more smoke tonight because of his bragging of us. That's how he feels. When we talk about these missions and this stuff for the people that's gone, God is so proud of us. And he says, come. I want you to hit the mark. I want to eat the bullseye. So if you are full of distractions, you feel like you're in the wilderness and you're a Christian, you love God, but always at the right place at the wrong time, I want you to come and stand on this side or on that side in front as soon as we finish praying, because we're going to trust God that you're going to start to walk in a place of accountability. You're going to start to say, God, help me to pray. Help me to worship. Help me to get into the basic disciplines. That's why you need to be in a small group and you learn from other people and we encourage each other. We're going to first pray with these people and then I want those people to come out, because you need to just come and make a stand tonight. Scripture says, having done all to stand, stand. Don't try and fight and fight the devil. Just stand. Just come and make a stand. Yeah. And when you make a stand, then the armor of God comes. Then no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Then you overcome and you begin to eat of the crops and you get a crown. And you please God. So Father, let's pray together. Father, tonight I repent of looking to the world and looking to my own life for my salvation. Tonight I come to you and I pray that you will unite my heart so that I can fear your name. Unite my heart, Lord, and take away all the distractions tonight, so that I can worship you in spirit and in truth. I repent of my sins. I repent of allowing the world to influence me and even becoming a slave of this world. But tonight, Lord, I commit myself to follow you. Come and make me, Lord, as I follow you. Make me a true disciple of Christ. I want to hear your voice. I want to be obedient, Lord. And I need the help of the Holy Spirit. I deny my flesh. I deny my emotions. I deny the stuff that screams at me and confuses me. But tonight, in the name of Jesus, I receive the gift of salvation. I receive your fullness of life. I receive your freedom over my life. And I walk away, Lord, from the distractions and the stuff. Make my life new, Lord. Give me an eternal life. I repent of trying in my own strength and even trying to be perfect. But tonight I thank you for a freedom to worship you and to follow you with all of my heart, with all of my mind, and with all of my soul. I deny myself. I take up my cross. And from today on, Lord, I want to follow you on your terms. Help me, save me, heal me, deliver me, set me free, Lord. I receive the fact and the truth that you make me a new creation. The old things have passed. Everything becomes new in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Hallelujah. Facilitators are going to quickly pray for you. If you have coming here for the first time tonight, or you're new tonight, we would love to just take your details and pray with you, because it's so important that we just spend 3 minutes with you. And there's some facilitators behind you. I want you to turn. If you like a leader here, it's fine, you can stay behind. But if you're new here, we would like you to just follow their courtesy standing there at the door. There's somebody behind you that's going to go with you, because we need to follow up, we need to build relationship with you, and we'd love to pray with you. And that second group, while these people are going, I want you to start moving out. Maybe there's cycles of addiction in your life. Tonight the Lord is going to set you free. And I know some of you want to rush out here, but I tell you tonight, God has got some business to do with some of us. He wants to set you free. He wants to break that cycle. He does not want you to be entangled with the things of this world. You can come and stand in front here as well. There's some people here tonight that are really, you're battling with confusion. There's like confusion in your mind, lots of stuff and voices in your mind. I want you to come and stand right here in front, because we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray God's peace over you. We're going to break those cycles of your life. And also, there's some people here tonight that needs deliverance. There's like demonic stuff. You've had demonic dreams, stuff that's been bothering you, been plaguing you at night. And you know that it's demonic. It's not natural. And you want deliverance, and the Lord is going to, there's a special anointing to set people free here tonight. I want you to come out quickly and just come and stand right in front, because we're going to pray. And I just feel God say to me, and you know what? We shouldn't actually say, I feel God said to me, because that's feeling. I believe God said to me tonight that there are some people here, but this is very, very intense for some people. There's some of you that feel, and you think that you're going to backslide and you're going to lose your salvation and you've blasphemed against the Holy Spirit, you're actually not going to make it. There's this thing in the back of your head that's been bugging you all this time. And there's about 9 people here tonight. You need specific. It's a religious spirit that are targeting your mind, and God wants to set you free. About 9 people. You always have this thing that, oh, I'm going to lose my salvation. Or, oh, I've blasphemed the Holy Spirit when I've just, you know, thought something bad against him. And that's nonsense. It's a religious thing. It's a spirit of bondage that's trying to take you out. If that's you tonight, I want you to come and stand right here in front, because we're going to anoint you. And that nonsense is going to stop over your life. We're going to release you into the fullness of God. If that's you, those 9 people, I want you to quickly come out. I want you to come and stand here, because you're always afraid that you're actually not going to make it. You're going to lose your salvation. There's 9 specific people here. Maybe there's more, but I know there's some people here that has got a very intense, there's a very intense thing that here at the back of your mind, it's a very subconscious thing, but you actually think you're not going to finish the race. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Come quickly. Maybe there's more people. I want to come, because I feel there's already a deliverance for people like that. Just come. If it's more than 9, it's fine. But we're going to break. It's a spirit of bondage that wants to lie to you. Okay? It wants to say to you, look here, you're not going to make it because you're not spiritual enough. But it's a lie. It's an accusation. And we're going to trust God for it to be broken over your life tonight. Oh, those people in the second row, are you also for this prayer? Or you're just for general, just coming to worship Jesus? Okay. Okay, we want to take some oil. I want some of the district leaders and zone leaders especially to come and pray for these people, because I'm going to lay my hands on you, and we're going to trust God that that spirit is going to break over your life tonight. No more confusion. No more lies. But firstly, we're going to start to worship God. Amen. We're going to just start to worship Him, and we're going to thank Him for our salvation. You need to thank Him for your salvation. That's where it starts. Okay, where you just step out of what you feel, step out of your emotions. But tonight we're going to break that spirit of bondage. You need to reject that spirit of bondage as we're going to just worship. Can we sing a worship song? Just very softly, as we're going to just take oil and anoint these people. Now, with the people at the back, I want you just to maybe sit down. I sense really God wants to speak to you about certain stuff. He wants to give you, show you those rewards. He wants to, or you can stand if you want to worship. If you're in a rush to go, feel free to go. We're going to baptize people now in about 15 minutes or 20 minutes time. But we first want to just pray for all these people. I want some facilitators to come and anoint the people in front. But first, we could just come to worship Him. Amen. So let's just pray. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we take authority, God, over every spirit of bondage, and we release them, Lord, from the lies and the accusations that they're not going to finish the race. But in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, right now, we break, Lord, every yoke of slavery. Everything in the mind, Lord, that comes to, Lord, bind their minds and say to Him, Lord, He cannot, Lord, say to a Lord that she's not good enough, Father. But right now, we consecrate them to Your purposes. We consecrate them, Lord, for Your works, Father. And we thank You for the mind of Christ, God. And tonight, Lord, we break every spirit of slavery, God. We break every false desire, Lord, over them, Father. We break everything, Lord, that says to them they're not good enough, Father. We break the spirit of bondage again to fear. Lord, everything, Lord, a lying spirit and a false Holy Spirit, Lord, that wants to say to them, Lord, they're not good enough, Father, for You. But tonight, we anoint them for you, Father. And tonight, Lord, the wilderness experience stops, Lord. The lying and the accusation in their mind stops, Lord. The things, Father, that has been binding them and keeping them, Lord, in this place, Lord, in this desert place, it stops tonight, Father. And we anoint them, Lord, to that place, and we come against that spirit of religion. Lord, everything, Lord, that lies to them, Lord, and just say to them, they're not good enough, Father. They're not going to finish the race, Lord. Every spirit, every fear of failure, Father, we break it over them and we say, Lord, these are Your daughters. These are Your sons. And they're going to finish strong, Lord, because You are more than able. You are more than able to finish the work that You've started. You're more than able, God. You're more than able, Father. We thank You that You are more than able, Father. We thank You that You are more than able, God. We thank You that You are more than able. Thank You that You will finish, Father, what You have started. Thank You, Father. Thank You that You are more than able, God, and You will finish what You have started. We break every lie, Lord. Thank You that You will finish, Father. You will finish what You've started. You'll finish, Father. Thank You that You will finish, Father. Your work will be complete in them, Lord. Your work will be complete through them, Father. And tonight we thank You for that freedom in Jesus' name. We thank You for release, Lord, of that spirit of bondage. As we're going to worship God, some people are going to just come in and anoint You and anoint people on this side. As we're just going to break addictions. The Lord wants to set people free from addictions, from lies, from just cycles of stuff. And there's some of you that just need to come and make a stand and say, look, yeah, I'm not going to allow these distractions in my life anymore. I'm going to start to be focused, and I'm going to start to be accountable with other believers. I'm going to walk. I'm going to get to the prayer. I'm going to get to the place, and we're going to pray together. We're not going to be mediocre Christians anymore. We're going to say to God, thank You for Your grace, but thank You, Lord, for an ability in Christ and an enablement through Your Holy Spirit. Thank You, Father, for that release right now. I want the people in front just to start to worship Him as we're going to sing. There's somebody here tonight. You love rock climbing and you're 19 years old. You like rock climbing and you're like 19 years old, and you've been running a little bit away from the calling of God on your life. I want you to come out quickly. I want you to come. I want to pray. We want to pray for you in front. Where are you? You're sitting on this side somewhere. You need to come quickly because we want to pray for you. And there's also some people here that there's intense doubt in this moment as to what you are studying, whether it's actually the right course. And you're in this massive challenge of just what you're studying. There's like just stuff in your life. And we want to pray for you for the peace of God. I want you to come and stand right here in front. If there's just like wave upon wave as to you just confused as to, are you actually in the right place? Are you supposed to study what you're studying? And we're going to trust God that within the next 2 or 3 days, He's going to give you a peace. Okay? Just quickly come. If that's you tonight, if God is speaking to you and there's just like wave upon wave, even the big decisions that you need to make right now, and there's just stuff in your life that's overwhelming you, we want to pray for you. Where's the person with the rock climbing? Is that you? Come here. Father, thank you right now for, Lord, your abilities in his life, Father. And thank you, God, Lord, that tonight there's a place, Lord, where we set these feet free, Lord, to run, Lord. Thank you that you've given him a very adventurous spirit, a pioneering spirit, God, and the ability to ask you, Lord. But sometimes when he looks to people around him, Father, it seems like, Lord, he just wants to run away. But thank you tonight that he's going to run into Christ. Thank you, Father, for your desires over him. Father, there's a great legacy, a spiritual legacy, Lord, of generations, Lord, that he needs to pick up, Lord, of people before him, Lord, that has followed God, Lord. And thank you, Father, for that torch, Lord. Thank you for that baton, Lord. Thank you, Father, for release of his life, Father, and an energy and ability in Christ to run and not to grow weary, Father. Thank you, Father, for your desires over him, Father. And tonight we release your fullness, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. And we thank you, Father, right now we break every doubt. We break every fear, Father, that says to him he's not good enough, Father. But as he's been asking, Lord, to climb these mountains, God, that so you'll begin to release, Lord, that spirit over him that says yes, yes, yes to the promises of God. Father, no more doubt, but thank you for your abilities, Father. And tonight we release, Lord, the smell of God over her, God. She's going to know the fragrance of God. Father, no more, Lord. Lord, sometimes she always feels, Lord, like she's got a spade, Lord, when she needs a fork, Lord, and then, Lord, she's got the wrong tools all the time, Father. But thank you tonight that you give a peace to her and you release the fullness of God. Lord, no more doubt, Lord, by the abilities of Christ. Father, thank you, Father. I see her, Lord, doing all this, Lord, nuga, Lord, and Lord, it's like little nougat packets, Lord, and export quality, Father. Lord, that is going to release the fragrance and the sweetness of God, Father. Lord, no more stuff, but thank you that you want to use our hands for healing, Father. You want to use our hands for healing. I come against, Lord, every barrenness in her life, Lord, every cycle of barrenness, Father. I want to thank you, Father, Lord, for the voice of God. And I want to thank you, we want to thank you, Lord, for the music of God in her ears, Lord, as you begin to hear the songs of angels again, Lord, and she'll begin to fly and begin to see and begin to know, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. No more cycles, Lord, of heaviness, Father. No more, Lord, doubt, Lord, whether she's actually good enough. But tonight, Lord, you're asking her, Lord, to open up the flower shop, God. And Lord, there's going to be flowers and bees and all over the place, Lord. The fragrance of the flowers, God. Lord, it's not going to be, Lord, old stuff in the backyard, Lord, but it's going to be front, God. You're causing her to be a lead, and we thank you for that release, Father. Thank you, Father. No more slavery, Lord, to the things of this world, Father, and the systems of this world, Father. Lord, and every pressure that has been put on her, Lord, especially from ladies in her life, Father. Lord, we say no to that, and we say yes to your call on her life, Father. Thank you, Father, that she's a giver and she's a servant, and we release you into that fullness tonight, Lord, of serving and giving, Father. And thank you, Father, tonight for the grace, Lord, to step into your fullness, Father, to see what you see. Give us spiritual eyes, Lord, to know that, Father. Lord, no more will our ears be blocked, Father, but we open up the ears to hear, Father, the sounds from heaven, the prayers from heaven, God. No more, Lord, the old ways, Father, but thank you, Father, as he's put his hand to the plow, we will know, Father. Thank you, Father. No more, Lord. People have said she's weird, she's different, she's just like out of the box, Father. But I want to thank you, Father, for your grace on her life, Father. The ability, Lord, to walk in your ways, God. And then thank you, the fullness, Father. Thank you, Father, for her hands. Thank you that you bless her hands and you give her favor in Jesus' name. As we're going to just sing a praise song to God, I want you to pray over people. There's really a spirit of prophecy. Just grab somebody's hand and pray over them. And just say, you're going to finish the race. And the Lord has got a reward for you. Start walking in that discipline. Start walking in that fullness. And some of you need to be accountable to things that God has said to you. Go and tell one of your friends right now. Go and tell them what God has told you that you must go and do. And you're going to do that. Amen? And you begin to fall. Can we sing that? We will sing, sing, sing. Or what are we going to sing? Okay, we will sing, sing, sing.
I'm free.
Okay, now let's sing. We will sing, sing, sing.
Sing, sing, yes. Good.
We need some ladies in front here to help pray with people, for people. Some lady facilitators, thank you very much. And if you need healing in your body, won't you just come to the front? We want to pray for you as we're going to just dance and sing.